Acts chapter 21, starting in verse number 10. The word of God says, "As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, 'This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles.' When we heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready.'" Somebody shout, "I am ready."
"I am ready."
"I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since he would not be persuaded, we fell silent, remarking, "The will of the Lord be done." May God add grace unto his word into your lives today. Go ahead and be seated. I want to talk to you today about being ready and willing to do what God has prepared for you, has called you to do in this coming year. This is not a new structure. It is evident throughout Scripture. I love how God opens in his dialogue with Isaiah. And in that first chapter, he declares, "If you are willing and obedient, you will eat of the fruit of the land." There is the necessity for us to be willing and obedient. And the reality is this: Paul was ready. Paul was ready to face whatever would come his way. He wasn't hesitant. He didn't shrink back. He says, "I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die for the name of Jesus." Paul understood the power of a testimony. He didn't shrink back from adversity because he knew that in adversity, God would give him anointing. And he knew that through anointing, God would be able to express a testimony of the goodness and the power of God that would touch a multitude. Paul understood the power of the testimony, and he understood what it takes to get a testimony. If you even consider the word testimony, you can't have that word apart from a test. When trouble comes into our lives, we can do one of three things. We can endure it, we can escape it, or we can enlist it. What I want to offer to you today is that many well-meaning Christians endure it. They just want to get through it so they can get back to calm waters. We don't even want to give the option of escape it because that's not biblical. But what I would submit to you today is there is a better way. You must enlist it. If you only endure your trials, your trial will become your master. And you will live in periods of grace, fearful of the next season of testing. Our lives will begin to fit around our trials and will have a tendency to become hard and bitter. If we try to escape our trials, we will miss the purpose that God wants to achieve in our lives. We will miss the opportunity for growth. We will miss the opportunity for greatness in God. But if we learn to enlist our trials, those trials will become our servants rather than our masters. They will work for us, and God will work all things together for our good through them. James 1 still tells us that we are to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Now, I often hear people say, "Don't pray for patience." Because when you pray for patience, you know a test is coming. That's how patience is achieved. I see other people who endure the trial and tribulation, but they're often praying for it to come to a swift end. And as a result, many modern testimonies describe how I hit some opposition. I ran into a rough time, but God worked all things together for good and got me out of it real quick. Paul's action says there's a better way. He says it doesn't matter how long the persecution lasts because God is with me. Paul's actions tells us that the true anointing of God flows through those who say, getting through ain't good enough. The goal is not simply to get through. It's not a matter of, God, how are you going to get me out of this? But God, what are you wanting me to get out of this? Those who are not satisfied until they emerge perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Many times the trials of life come upon us and we rightly run to the altar. We run to God in prayer. But then we begin to rebuke everything and we bind this and we loose that. We beg God, change my situation. Friends, just because God changes your situation doesn't mean you're walking in victory. The victory comes when you change the situation and don't let the situation change you. If God changes the situation just to answer your prayer, that just may mean you have a stay of execution. Your trial has been postponed to a later date. You see, God's goal is not to change the situation, but to change you. We have become so desperate to get out of our time of affliction that we don't allow patience to have its perfect work. We don't want to allow God to do what he needs to do in us and for us because we know it's going to be a painful process. So we look at it and we figure out there must be a better way. Surely this can't be God's will for me to go through this. Surely I can become what God has called me to be if we do it another way, and I don't have to go through all of this stuff. There's a problem with that mode of thinking, as we discussed in our men's ministry meeting today. I often hear people quote out of the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain." Let me hit you with some knowledge here. If you ask people, well, how is it that we take the Lord's name in vain? A lot of people will immediately answer and say, whenever you say GD, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. Well, there's a problem with that. His name is not God. That's his title. I'm not advocating you say that. What's the name of the Lord? Yahweh. That's how we pronounce it. Yahweh. What does that mean? I am. That's how God revealed himself to Moses. I am that I am. Jesus, 14 times in John's gospel, uses the same phrase to designate that he is God. I am. That's his name. How do you take the Lord's name in vain when you say, I am able to determine what's right or wrong? I am able to know what's good from bad. I am able to know whether it's okay to do this or whether the Bible really says. When you say, I am, you're taking the name I am in vain, because he is I am, and his word is truth, and his will is perfect, and his glory shall not be shared. Paul did not say, I am. He said, you are. And I'm going to follow you because I'm your servant. He was ready to do whatever it took. I am ready. I'm ready for what God is ready to do in me. I am ready for what God is ready to ask me to do. I am ready to become everything God has called me to be. I'm ready to get rid of whatever is not godly, even if they have to beat it out of me, Paul said. I'm ready. Somebody shout, I'm ready. Paul was ready to face whatever may come his way. Paul was ready to go wherever he needed to go. You see, for Paul, this Christian existence was not confined to four walls called a church. He said, I am the church, and these four walls are entombing me. I got to go where God tells me to go and preach what God gives me to preach. Romans 8 and 14, which Paul writes, it says this, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, or in our case, sons and daughters of God. Let me pause on that passage for a moment. When we see in Acts 21, Paul says, I am ready to go wherever God tells me to go. That's an interesting engagement with us. You see, the Greek word out of Romans 8, which is where he's going, that Greek word that we translate as led is the word ago, to lead. Paul in Acts 21 is told, if you're going to get bound up and taken to Rome, and he learns he's going to die there. In his letter to the Romans, he says, well, hey, those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. The Greek word, the verb to lead, ago, is the root word from which we get the Greek word agon. From agon, we get the English word agony. Stay with me. The word agon describes intense conflict, a wrestling match, a struggle. It illustrates the fact that as the Holy Spirit leads us, our human nature does not like the idea of being led. That at the root of being led is an agony. Why? I am. Now we're back to point one. I don't want to be led to this. I don't want to go through this. I don't want to suffer in this way. I don't want to have to deal with that person. I don't want to have to deal with this situation. I don't want to have to pay these bills. I don't want to have to endure. It's the nature of our flesh to go its own way. But notice what Paul said. He said, I am not going to live in agony. I am going to live being led. I'm going to cut this thing off before it becomes a struggle, before it becomes difficult. I'm going to declare right now that I'm going to be led by the Spirit, and I'm going to let the Spirit say where I need to go, when I need to go, and what I need to do. Listen to Galatians 5. Go ahead and praise God. That's all right. Galatians 5, Paul will say this, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. There's that agony, that conflict. For these, Paul said, are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. I'm telling somebody today, you got to cut it off. You got to cut off that I am aspect of the flesh and say, I have determined in my heart that my God is the way, the truth, and the life, and I will be led by His Holy Spirit. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to do it your will. I'm going to do it every day because I am a child of God. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Don't let the leading of the Spirit become your agony. And don't let your determination to choose become your lowercase g God. Paul was about to go through an ordeal at the hands of the Jews in Jerusalem. He would be bound. He would be wrongly accused. He would be beaten, but he's ready. Why? Because he has heard the voice of God and is determined that if that's God's will, then God has a purpose. And if God has a purpose, it is going to be perfect. And if it is perfect, that means I am not. But if I submit to that perfect plan, I will be perfected. Not my will, thy will be done. God, let's do it. Here we go. When the dust cleared, we're going to find him on a ship headed for Rome. He's ready for that too. In Acts 23, we're going to come to verse 11. And it says, on the night immediately following, the Lord stood at Paul's side and said, take courage, for as you have solemnly witnessed to my cause at Jerusalem, so you must also witness at Rome. Woo, let me make a couple of points here. The same Jesus who appeared to Paul as a blinding light some years earlier now stands with Paul in his darkest hour. Oh, I'm here to tell you, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is that light in your dark hour. He is the way that is going to lead you into the paths of righteousness. Wherever Jesus leads, we willingly follow, and he is by our side. And here's what I love. I hear people all the time say, well, I don't hear God talking to me like that. Well, where are you at? Notice, the night immediately following, the Lord stood at his side and said, take courage. You know where Paul encountered Jesus? On the path Jesus told him to take.
That's right.
It wasn't an easy path. It wasn't a glorious path for him. It was a difficult path. But it was made gracious by the grace of God. And that's where Paul encountered Jesus. You want to know where Jesus is? He's on the way that he's laid before you.
That's right.
Follow him. Be led of the Spirit and see how many encounters you have with God. See how many times God begins to speak into your life, to show himself true, to do miracles in your life. If I may put it this way, if you're not encountering God on your walk, you're not on God's walk. If you're not encountering God, he's not the one who moved. His way is still true. And he's still on that path. Don't you know, a young Jesus said, I must be about my Father's business. I can't go down your road because you're not I am. I got to go down his road. Do you understand what I'm saying today?
Yes.
Am I messing with somebody's life today? God's speaking into your situation a little bit rough today. That's all right, because God's got a plan for you.
Right.
We must be willing to go wherever God needs us to go, to do whatever needs to get done. Paul had to go to Jerusalem and later to Rome. I ask you today, is there somewhere you have to go? Is there somewhere you have to go? God didn't bring you to this house today just for you to fill a few hours and check off a religious box and carry on through the week in the hopes of getting his blessing because you showed up. This isn't probation, where you show up, check your box, and now you get to go do whatever you want. That's not how God works. He brought you here today to say, I've got something I want to do in you, and there's going to be some difficult parts.
You're right.
You see, you might have some places to go, and it might not be a physical location. He might be taking you to a place in your past where you were wounded.
Come on.
So that you can find the ability to forgive somebody. He might be taking you to a place where you've surrendered your calling, your purpose in God, so you could pick it back up. He might be taking you to a place where you've wounded somebody and you can ask them to forgive you. He might be taking you to some place where you make things right. You might need to face something that you've hid for far too long. And God is saying, today is the day. We're going there. And I know it's difficult, but something better awaits you. What a great time to go there. Here at the beginning of a new year, I'm not here to offer you a resolution. I'm here to offer you a revelation. We're at the beginning of a new year. Now, for our Jewish brethren, of course, their new year was in the fall, but they have a word for their new year. What I call hillbilly Hebrew will say, hey, have you ever seen that Rosh Hashanah? It's actually Rosh Hashanah. And the root word on that, Shana, a curious word. Shana has two meanings. The first means to repeat. to duplicate, to second. Much like a year is a repeat of what has come before. Spring, summer, fall, winter, unless you live in Virginia, of course. You might get all four of those in 1 week. But typically, in normal society, a year sees a repeat of spring, summer, fall, winter. A time to plant, a time to grow, a time to harvest, a time of dormancy. The nature of nature is to repeat. It does it year after year. Similarly, we are creatures of habit. We gravitate toward doing what we've always done before. Things with which we are comfortable. We get into our routines, which inadvertently become ruts. And all a rut is an open-ended grave. But we get into our routines and we repeat the same thing over and over. I don't need a show of hands, but I'm willing to guess that a number of people, when you come home, you do the exact same thing. You put your shoes in the exact same place. You turn on the exact same lights. You sit in the exact same chair. You watch the exact same channels until you go into the exact same bed at the exact same time of night, and you sleep in the exact same way, and you wake up at the exact same time in the morning, and you go to the exact same place to go to work, and it goes over and over. You eat at the exact same places. You drive the exact same roads. We get into our routines. And we do it with God as well. We say the exact same prayers. Shana means to repeat. Its second meaning is to change. Now, how in the world can the same word mean the opposite thing? The same way that the path before you, the choice before you, the year before you can be either or. Either this coming year will be a repeat of 2019 in your walk with God, or it's going to be something new. There's going to be a change. You see, the way of the world, the way of nature, the way of the flesh is to repeat, to remain comfortable. But the way of God is to change. The way of God is new beginnings. The way of God is to be born again. The way of God is new life. Now, which path are you going to take this year? Paul was not willing to remain comfortable. Comfort leads to complacency. Complacency will kill your spirituality. Now, Paul said, I'm ready to go wherever I need to go, to face whatever I need to face. This is necessary, Paul said, because I'm ready to go wherever I need. Oh, I forgot to write the right one on there. To preach whatever I need to preach is what that should say. To preach whatever I need to preach. To proclaim the gospel. To share the truth, light, and the love of God with everybody that I meet. Now, we get upset because Pastor Lance asked us to invite our coworkers and our neighbors to church. I'm so embarrassed. It's so odd. That's not the relationship we have. Paul says, I'm going to get arrested, falsely accused, thrown into prison so that I can preach to those guards? Okay. He was ready to go preach that gospel. Listen to what he writes in Romans chapter 1. For my part, I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I'm ready to go from faith to faith, wherever God's taking me. And wherever he takes me and whatever he takes me through, I know that as I'm receiving the truth and grace and love of God, I'm also dispensing the truth and the grace and the love of God. I'm ready to preach the gospel, to speak to whomever will listen, even if I have to do it in chains, Paul said. I'm ready to climb any mountain. Because he's greater than the mountain that's in front of me. Amen. I'm ready to cross any valley. Because yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you are with me.
Right.
Ready to swim in the ocean. Ready to be the church. Ready to pray until. Getting ready to wrap this up. From the prison in which Paul will find himself in Rome, he will later write to a young pastor named Timothy and say this. You can find it in 2 Timothy 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Paul, sitting in a jail cell, nothing like the jail cells we endure today, a dungeon, and he's giving advice to his protege, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to sit and remember me from my good days and the way it was. I don't want you to petition the governor to see if I can get a stay of execution. Here's my famous last words to you, Timothy. Preach the word. Preach the same gospel that got me chained up. Preach the same scripture that brought a death sentence in my life. Why? Because it saved my life. It gave me eternal life, and it gave it to me in abundance. Go preach that word. Do the work of the evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Be ready, and don't let anything keep you from becoming everything God has called you to be. Be ready whether you feel like it or not. Be ready whether you agree with it or not. You're not the I am. He is. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to you. It doesn't matter if it's uncomfortable to you. I'm preaching better than you're shouting today. I know you're getting stepped on, so am I. But this is where complacent Christianity kills us. We want all the blessings of God with minimal effort. Minimal responsibility on our parts. But Jesus picked up a cross. Paul was clamped in chains. Peter was crucified upside down. Disciples had their brains bashed in. Why? Because they said, this is truth, and I'll not back off of it. Fulfill your ministry. Do the work of the evangelist. Be ready. When the Holy Spirit lays it upon your heart as you're going through Walmart to go and pray for that person you don't even know, go and pray for them. When God tells you to pray for the person you see at the altar, well, it's none of my business. Pray with them. When God tells you, set this aside so that you can run this race. You know, I would imagine that if a track coach was in here and you decided you wanted to run the Boston Marathon next year and said, hey, can you train me up? And you came up for the first day, and you were wearing some combat boots and a big, heavy flak vest, and you had 16 bottles of water around your waist. That coach, the first thing he's going to say is, or she is going to say is, you need to drop all that weight. You're never going to make it.
Right.
Well, I'd like to tell you that these boots are very comfortable, and I'm looking to go into some really dangerous areas, so I need this vest. And I am determined to stay hydrated. Are you going to complete that race? I'm going to take a guess and say that that track coach who has run a few marathons might know a thing or two.
Yeah.
God is telling us to drop stuff. But I don't see any harm in it, God. I am not seeing a problem with this. I am sure I am going to need it. There are people who are totally ineffective in the spiritual realm because they refuse to do anything unless they are supernaturally inspired or can do it on their own terms. To be ready is to surrender. To go whether we feel inspired or not, whether we agree or not, whether we understand or not. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Be ready to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come, Paul said, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Fables that say, God loves you just the way you are. There's no problem with what you're doing. Everything is okay. Continue on in your path. And yet, God is not there. Be ready, though you are tired. Be ready, though you are hurt. Be ready, though everything inside you begs you to quit. Be ready when it becomes more sacrifice than fun. Be ready when no one else will stand with you. Be ready, though you can't see signs of victory. Be ready. Whoever's messing with that, can you advance me to my next slide, please? Are you ready today? Ready to face what you must face, to go where you must go, and to do what God has called you to do. Praise team, come on up here. I want you to have a time with God today, a time of prayer, a time of seeking. Did you notice that Paul got a word from God that said, here's what's about to come? Do you know what 2020 holds for you? Do you know what God's plan is for you in 2020? If your whole Christian perspective on the coming year is to just kind of do things as you've been doing them, you're in that nature side of it, which leads to that agony side of it, because your nature will resist the Holy Spirit. The word in the Hebrew, ruach, in the Greek, pneuma, it is translated spirit. It is also translated wind. You know, if you get up on one of those mountaintops, I've been on some pretty tall mountains, and I felt the wind that's up there. If you get out on the open ocean and that wind is really kicking, and you try to walk against the wind, I've had to walk sometimes leaning like this. You've been there, right? Been out on a carrier deck, and you're walking at like a 45-degree angle, and you're pushing with everything you got. It's tiring. It's difficult. Why? Because you're pushing against the wind. But what happens when you turn around? It empowers you. It pushes you. If you're just going into this year with the same Christian mindset of whatever comes, comes, I'm going to keep doing my thing, you're in the natural. You're in the nature. And when the Holy Spirit seeks to lead you, you're going to hit that. You're going to go from a go into agony because you're going to be hitting that resistance. But if you'll just turn and let the Spirit lead you, He will empower and pick up and enable you to go where He's called you to be. Do you know where He's leading you this year? Do you know what He's called you to do this year? Not just in your ministry. Is He looking to wrench out some unforgiveness? To strengthen up that love, that joy, that peace that's in your heart? To accept His will for your life? What is your next level? What is your next level? My heart today, God, a go to be led. Shana. Not to repeat, but to change. Lead me into the change you desire. I am not, but I know I am. Lead me into the change you desire. Show me. I will follow. Is that your prayer today? Father, we thank you, Lord, today. And I pray for each and every soul that submits to this work and this word that you have provided, that we be led into a year of change, development, growth to your glory. Following you in full faith and assurance that he that began a good work in us shall complete it, that we can trust you with our heart, with our hope, with our future, with our family. May it be to your glory, Father God. May it be through your power, Holy Spirit. May it be in the name that is above every name, that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This altar's open for all who would say, Lord, here am I. Send me. I will follow. Change me into your name.